Well, good morning, everybody. All right. Hey, isn't this fantastic? Val has made this. Yes. And are we good to go? Let me see. Yes. Okay. This is what this is all about. We've been talking about lighting up our world, right? Okay. So I wish that I could say that I completely thought of this myself, but Val sent this to me not even thinking about what we're doing so much as like, isn't this a great idea? And I thought, yeah, that is a good idea. And I thought, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to put this out in the lobby. And if you've had opportunity in any way to be a witness for Christ, either you talk to someone, you are able just to be a living witness, whatever it is. And, I mean, my bar is going to be pretty low. If you feel like, wow, I lived for Jesus this week. Okay, if that was you, I want you to, when you walk in, and we'll have it out in the lobby, I want you to come in and just turn one of these. There you go. So we want to have this whole thing lit up, because we want to be those living witnesses for Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So I did have opportunity this week, so I'll just leave one up. Okay. All right. We've been having a theme verse of Matthew 5:14. It's, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." So we've been talking about lighting up our world for Christ. And we found that when it comes to sharing your faith, God wants you to just be you. That was the first message. He designed you to share his light based on how he has designed you to be. So it takes the pressure off. He wants you just to be you, how he made you. And that's all you got to do. Just be you. We then discover that we all have a testimony to share, what Christ has done in your life. And at different times, we are to share that testimony and anything else that God has done in your life for the need of the moment. And one week, we had these 3x5 cards, and I hope that you did those. I am going to ask for a raise of hands. How many of you filled out a 3x5 card with your testimony on it? Okay. All right. I would like you to do that if you still have your card. Okay. And you can do it. I did it. And it's just very basic. What was a key moment in your life when you discovered that Jesus was the truth? Jesus was the person who's going to direct the rest of your life. And so you can just write that on there. And the purpose is so that you'd be able to share it quickly with someone if you need to. Okay? So, if you have your 3x5 card, I encourage you to do that. And then we also found that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week, to be a witness for Christ. And that the Holy Spirit that infills us and helps us to be a better witness, first by overcoming sin, but also by sharing the word through us in our life in so many different ways. So this week I want to talk about how we live, what we do. Our actions are a big part of being a living testimony for Christ, being a living testimony. Now, in a little while, I'm going to bring up two different individuals. Both of them are going to share about being a living testimony for Jesus. But what they're going to share on this subject comes from two different, not really points of view, but two different ways that that they've been able to share and to be able to live that. So I'm going to read Matthew 5:14-16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right, so that they may see your good works. What good works? What is Jesus talking about? So the world we live in is by and large a godless place. We don't really look at it that way sometimes. It's what we face every day. And in our community, there may be, you know, many Christians. There are lots of parts of the world that is not the case. Okay? But I'm talking about the world system. Because the world system has evil in it and around it. There's a lot of good things about this earth, obviously. Beautiful things that God has made. Relationships with people. There's lots and lots of good in this world. But when we're talking about our world's system, there is much evil in it. And those are things that are contrary to what God says and what he teaches in his word. So I'm going to use this example to show us one of the lies that is often perpetrated in our culture. Whoops. I knew that was coming off. There we go. All right, I'm going to talk about television sitcoms, especially comedies. And this is just an example of just kind of the way it is in our world. Oftentimes, comedies will often speak of pornography in such a way that it's a man's right, or that it's what's expected of man. It's just what... And that is a complete lie. And they present it as funny. I've seen several sitcoms over the years that have done this, and it's just expected. But see, that's a lie. It's not only a lie; it's not funny, and it can destroy people's lives, and can destroy marriages. But see, the world—it's a big joke. They just pass it over. That's just what guys do. Well, that's just an example of what the world does. The world's system. So it's filled with subtle and not so subtle lies. So the scripture we just read says that we are to live in such a way that we end up shining out in the dark world. So what does that look like? Well, it can look so many different ways. And I've asked Woody to come up. Woody, why don't you come on up? Woody Wickham, to share an experience that he just had. And it was pretty cool. He's sharing me this experience when I'm with some people at a at a Starbucks. It was really loud in there. And he kept going, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm at a Starbucks." And then he'd tell me, and I think I missed about half of what you said because of what was going on there. But anyway, Woody, thanks for coming up and sharing this. Here's your microphone. Should be good to go.
Test.
Yeah, go on.
Okay,
out there.
Cool.
Take the podium.
Thank you. I just want to share one portion of scripture, Psalms 44:1 and then Psalms 44:8. It said, "God, we have heard with our ears. Our Father has told us the works that you did in their days and in the days of old." And then 8. It says, "In God we have boasted all day, and we have given thanks in your name forever." So I want to tell the story now. Dory works, by the way, me and Dory live in California. Don't fault us for that. But we live in a very rural area, very, very bad road. And the snow came as it came here. And I think the first day was like 6 inches it fell. And then the second day was 7 inches it fell. And we were pretty snowed in big time. So I have an old Chevy pickup, 4x4 crew cab, so 4-door. And Dory said, "I'm going to have you take me to work. Can you do that?" And I said, "Sure." So we get in the truck and we scurry down. And it's 30 miles to her job, so it was about an hour and a half because we were driving very slow. And we came across some cars that were on the snowbank on the side of the road, stuck in the road. and we came across a Prius, a Toyota Prius, two-wheel drive car, and the exhaust pipe is putting out exhaust. So I knew somebody was in there, and we went by, and I'm thinking to myself, who would drive a two-wheel drive car in this snow? This is crazy. And he was obviously stuck in the snow bank where the snow plow had come and tried to clear the road, but it just kept snowing. So he obviously slid into the snow bank and was stuck. And Dory says, are you going to stop? I said, no, I'm not going to stop. I got to get her to work, I'm thinking. And so on my way back, I come across this guy, and I pull up right next to him, and I yelled, hey! And he was asleep on his steering wheel, had his head on the steering wheel, and he wakes up, and I said, can I pull you out? And he opens the door, please do, please do. And he spoke very broken English. And so I get out of my truck, and I left my truck running, so the back of my truck is at the back of his car. And so he has no trailer hitch or anything, but I said, well, I could put my strap through one of his wheels and just pull him out that way and get him on his way. And so I said, this is what I'm going to do. He says, okay, thank you so much. He said, what's your name? I said, my name's Woody. How about you? He said, my name's Mohammed. And he's speaking very broken English. I think I said that, but I want you to know something that's so, so cool, this story. So he said, my name's Mohammed. I'm from Crimea. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this guy doing here and from Crimea? He says, by Russia. And I said, oh, interesting. And he says, I work for Amazon. And I said, okay. So I went to get all my stuff, my straps, and to pull them out. And one of my doors, my back door, it's ajar, so it's partially open, but it's locked. I can't get it all the way open. So I go to my driver's door. Remember, I've got my truck running. And so I open up the door, and I don't even look. I just hit the button to unlock all the doors, and I close the door. And then I go to the back door, and it's locked. And I'm like, oh, this is what I did. Oh, no. And I put my head against the window of the back door, and I'm like, I go, oh, no. And then I try to open the front door, locked. Try to open the back door, locked. Walk around the other side of the truck, try to open the doors, locked. And he goes, did you lock the door? And I'm like, that's all you need. Did you lock the door? I go, oh, yeah, I locked the door. What an idiot. Talking to myself, and he goes, it's all my fault. If you want to stop to help me, this would have never happened. It's all my fault. I go, no, it's not your fault. It's okay. So I'm like, what am I going to do now? I'm like 5 miles from my house in the snow, and so I'm like, what now, Lord, what now? And so I tried the doors again. They're all locked. And he's like panicking. And I don't know if I said this already, but he said, I spent the night in my car. I got stuck at night. I spent the night in my car. You're the only guy that has stopped. And by the time I got there, it was like 9 a.m. So I'm guessing this guy has probably been frigid cold all night long. Anyway, I go to try the doors one more time, and the door opened. And I'm like, no way. And then I tried the driver door. It opened. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And he's standing right there, Muhammad's watching my expression. I walked around to the other side of the door, the other side of the truck. Those doors opened. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, all the doors opened. And I went like this. I said, this is for you from him. This is for you from him. And so I got the straps, and I put them on the car, and I pulled them out. And then I told him how to get out. And I said, I want you to know the good Lord Jesus loves you a lot. He's thinking about you. Remember that. Remember that. And he's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, thank God. So I went on my way just, you know, thanking God. And I'm like, God, you are so incredible. And as I'm driving away, I'm thinking, I had no desire to help any Muslim people. And I said, God, you caused me to be a missionary to the Muslim people today. And what a blessing that was. And so if I can boast in anything, I'm going to boast in the things of God, because he's current. He's so current. And just make yourself available, because he's going to blow your mind. Because I'm telling you, I'm still mind blown today.
All right. Good job, Woody. All right. Turnable. There you go. All right. Thank you, man. I love that. It's a great example where, you know, if I don't have a lot of faith in that. You know how things happen in life where it's not the way you want it to be? And it's like, you know, if all those doors wouldn't have locked and Woody going through that, oh, no, you know, then the miracle wouldn't have been quite as great, you know. And God does that in our lives in so many ways. And things don't always go the way we think. But God has a plan, and we have to stick with him. So I love that. Thank you, Woody. All right. So living in such a way that we shine out in a dark world. That was a great example. So we're going to take a look in the book of Philippians to what Paul says about shining in a dark place. So Philippians 2, this will not be on your screen, 12 through 15, says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, this is Paul speaking, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I think it's interesting that thousands of years ago, the Apostle Paul refers to his generation as crooked and twisted. Sometimes we think, wow, ours is so bad, you know. It was bad back then. So let's break this scripture down a little bit as Paul is speaking about how we are to be lights in the world. So Philippians 2, verse 12, what we just read. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So in some ways, this doesn't sound like Paul. He says, work out your own salvation. Because Paul's always speaking about salvation isn't by what you do. You know, it's by faith. That's how we're saved. That's how we are able to go to heaven. It's because of the work of Christ. He did it all. That's how we get to heaven. And Paul just expounds on that, you know, a lot. But here it says to work out our salvation. So if we read the next passage, we're going to find Paul right back at grace, at God's grace. He says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So our job is to allow him to work in us and through us. You know, it, like Woody was talking about, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to judge Woody for not stopping on the way there. Only a little. There you go. He had to take care of his wife, of course. Of course, she wanted him to stop. Yes, Dory is such a saint. Okay. But he did stop. He did stop. And he did allow God to work through him. So there is that element of, okay, Lord, I am going to allow you to work through me, which means a lot of the times that we do have to do something. You know, so he He will ask us for obedience, but it's God at work in us, okay? All right, the next portion here is something we can all learn from. And do all things without grumbling or disputing. I'm a big believer in this. You'll hear me talk about this every once in a while. If any of you have worked in any kind of secular situation, you understand that grumbling and complaining and sarcasm can be a part of daily life. And hopefully as Christians, this is not us. This is not what we do. Okay? Because we're supposed to be a positive influence in the world around us. So the way that we behave can actually affect those who are normally so negative. Once they realize that nobody's feeding their negativity, honestly, it can tend to stop pretty quickly. Be a positive force in your world. Be a positive force in your world. Speak faith. Speak health. Speak love. Speak truth. Speak life. Speak the hopefulness that comes from God. Now, when I say this, it doesn't mean that you're not funny sometimes. Of course, there's times for all of that. Just careful in how you're funny. But speak life. Look, if you find yourself gravitating to negative things, you can stop that. Okay, I'm not going to browbeat you today about that. But you can stop that, even if you've been doing it your whole life. You don't have to keep doing that. You can stop it. You can sense when you're doing it. It's not like you don't know. You do know. Especially if you have the Spirit of God in you, you know when you're doing this. And you don't have to do that. And I'm just going to trust it that that is not happening in your life. And if it is, today's your day. You're going to turn that around. Let God help you. Because trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm not going to go on to all into the reasons why I had to make that decision a long time ago in my life, because I used to do that a lot many years ago, because my mind works that way. I see all the fault in things. I've shared that before. I'm one of those guys who's a halfway decent spell checker, because I can see all the mistakes, you know. And so if you're one of those kind of people, you just got to make sure you don't say everything that comes into your brain, right? Yes. So if I can do it, you can do it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So don't be influenced by negative people around you. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. All right. This is a pretty tough act to follow. I'm just kidding. That's pretty tough. Perfection, honestly, is impossible. It really is. But really, that's our goal. That's what we're shooting for, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And remember that, is that the Holy Spirit is perfect. And if you've accepted Christ into your life, he lives in you. So you have him inside of you. And so you can do good. You can be good because of him. Because of him. Unfortunately, none of us are immune from our flesh or that, some of those natural inclinations. Sometimes it raises its head, and we all at some point succumb to that, even if it's as minor as, you know, whether it's losing your temper, sometimes lacking faith, maybe you say something out of frustration. There's lots of little things that seemingly are small as we go throughout our day. But Christ is our example, and it's not that you won't fail, we all do, but Christ is our example, so we push on for that prize. We push on for that prize that comes in Christ. And another thing is, it's not that it comes by trying and trying, you know, because then we're going to get caught in that trap that so many Christians have throughout the generations. People have been so caught up in this, I'm just trying to do good. I'm trying to do good. Then you start, you know, then sins start, you know. The next thing you know, this actually happened in churches. They'd have a list out on the wall, you know, of sins. And don't do this. We don't do this. We don't do this. That's not what it's all about. That's the opposite of what it's all about. It's being. It's that being in Christ. That's a huge word in our Christian life, is being. Being in God's word, praying regularly, being in positive fellowship with one another, worshiping God on a regular basis, speaking thankfulness and hope, forgiving others easily, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. I mean, are there times that you have to put disciplines in your life? Yeah, there are, that you have to do that. But it still is God at work in us. And then the last part of verse 15, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So how we live, what our behaviors are, how we relate to other people, how we speak to others, has so much to do with being a light in our world. Being a living witness for Christ means to actively, listen closely to this, means to actively demonstrate your faith in Christ through your daily actions, your character, your choices, essentially letting your life be a testament to the transformative power of his teachings. Rather than just verbally professing belief, it involves embodying Christian values in your interactions with others and sharing your personal experience with God when appropriate. I love all of that. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So this is what God asks us to do, to be a living sacrifice. So what does that mean? It means that being a witness for Christ means so much more than this. I love it that you're here on Sunday. And if you're watching online and you're able to come, we'd love to see you here. But I'm glad you're online. That's good. And this is all good. I'm the number one fan of church. I always have been since the day I was saved. Before that, I was at a Catholic church where I grew up being an altar boy because it was not as boring as sitting there. So there was something for me to do until my little dress I would put on was coming up to my knees. And then I figured it was time for me to quit. So, yeah, I don't know where that came from, but there you have it. There you have it. I love church. I love church. I love being with God's people. I'm a front row guy. Always have been. And so, I love church. But what we're talking about goes beyond that. It goes beyond being nice to people at church. It goes beyond singing with everybody at church, even though that's great. These are all great things. It's your everyday life, your everyday life. It means our lives are devoted to Christ every day, every hour, every minute. Yeah, because he's everything to us, okay? And it's not kind of any pressure situation. It's freedom. So when I say every moment of your life, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing because there's freedom in Christ. There's true freedom. Now you can live your life looking for God to do the amazing. You can look for God to do the impossible. It's not a burden. Jesus says, he'll give us rest. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Jesus isn't a burden. Jesus is freedom. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. It's not about the do's and don'ts. Now you can make a difference in the world around you by the love of Christ through you. All right. So look, living for Christ in a damaged world at times can be daunting, but it is possible. I heard Chuck Swindoll say one time, and I've thought about this so many times, many years ago. He said, it is possible to go without sin for a matter of days. He goes, I'm going to say 3 days. And I have thought about that so many times. And I thought, you know, just because you think something doesn't mean it's a sin. It's what you do with it. So I'm just going to say, there's hope for you. All right. I've asked Tony Orton to share. And Tony, if you would come up, I'd appreciate that. Tony is a businessman, and he has the challenge of, thank you, he has the challenge of being a living witness in the business world. And so I've just asked him to share a bit about that and what God does through him, maybe some challenges. So, yeah, let's welcome Tony.
Thank you, Pastor Roger. And let me get my glasses out here. But thank you, Willie. I appreciated you starting it off. But my twisted mind, I have to apologize right out of the gate. The first thing I thought is that sometimes, Debbie, close your ears on this. Sometimes we need to listen to our wives, you know, and our Holy Spirit could be speaking through our wives. Because if you had stopped, she would have been in the truck, and your keys wouldn't. You wouldn't have been locked out, right? And so I get to see God up there say, "Okay, well, he didn't listen. We're going to do it the hard way now." And he worked through you still, but that was wonderful testimony. Hey, I'm just as guilty as that too. But just to briefly, I'd like to introduce myself. And years ago, this used to be a church. My wife and I, we got married in 1980, and we used to attend here. So we know a lot of the old-timers that are still attending here. And it's wonderful to reconnect, to be back here. And it's part of our testimony. And so some of my testimony this morning is what I'm going to share, but it's also what I use on a regular basis for my testimony that I share with others. Okay, so as I'm explaining to you my testimony, I'm going to also use this as my testimony for how I share my stories. And I'm a storyteller, okay? So I have to stick to my script here or I'll be off on a tangent. So this morning I woke up very early because when Roger asked me to do this, I thought, oh, what can I share? And the song that woke me up was a song by Keith Green. It was, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful. Your face is all I see. It's all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me." It's a beautiful song. And it was a wonderful way to wake up, I'll tell you that. But as I prayed this morning and I got up and I started praying and I thought, what can I condense this into 5-10 minutes? The word to be significant. And a quality that's worth attention when I think of being significant. And that's really a significant. We all are striving to be significant in our world. Whether me as a business owner or you in your workplace, your significance is what we try and strive to be, is significant and have impact. And so I'm looking at, so I got up and I looked in the Bible and I think it had a principle in the Bible in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, which was the ark containing the Ten Commandments, and it was called the Ark of Testimony. It was the first words used for testimony and the importance of how God had an ark and that he carried the test, his testimony, and the power of that. And so, I don't know why I'm so emotional this morning. I'm sorry. But it stirred my heart this morning. And so, my testimony is, as we think of a legal court setting, is it's I'm my own eyewitness, okay? I'm an eyewitness of my life. And that's the most powerful testimony you can have, is your eyewitness. And being yourself, you're your own eyewitness. In Revelations 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." There's power in our testimony. Yeah. And I can't emphasize that enough. There's power in our testimonies. Each one of us have an individual testimony that's so powerful that, as I mentioned, I have so many stories that are different in how God uses it, puts thoughts in my mind and saying, I feel that I just am sensitive to when things happen. I can use it as a testimony. And so be sensitive to how God is working in your lives to use those as your story and your testimony, because you don't know how powerful that can be, okay? But for my background, we got married, we were attending Bethel, and we were involved in that, and I was working for Coca-Cola for 20 years, and my job took me to Roseburg for 10 years with Coca-Cola, and through the correspondence of all of that, we needed to come back to Medford. We really wanted to come back to Medford. And the competition called me up and said, hey, we want to come. But I didn't want to work for parent company Coke. Long story short, so I switched sides. I know, too. I demised. Anyway, I went to work for Pepsi. So Pepsi for three and a half years there. So 23 and a half years of my life and my career was was a soda jockey. And so God brought me back home. And shortly after that, my wife's mother had breast cancer. And it was so good for us to come back to be with her in her last and final days and how God used that. But losing my thought here. I slid too far over. Okay, so in 2000, as we all remember, you old timers, Y2K, okay? And so I wanted to change jobs and careers. I was just burnt out of doing what I was doing. And a door opened up to be a transportation brokerage. Was offered me a job. And I thought, well, I did want to change, but it wasn't going to change prior to Y2K. So I said, thank you for the offer, but I'm going to wait this out. And so February, I changed careers. And in that time, I worked for a company that I worked from a salesman up into a management capacity, and I managed an office like 50, but six of them were owners, six active owners, and 50 included 50 owners. Okay, so it was quite a challenge. And of those six, four of them were Mormons, and a majority of the office was Mormons. And so that was quite a challenge. I told them I feel like a polygamous manager, having six wives, you know, there were ownerships and they were made. It was a joke, but it was. If anyone is struggling with polygamy, see me. I got some advice. Anyway, that was really a challenge, but I gleaned a lot from these guys and from this company. But through the course of the time, God used me and blessed me and gave me wisdom. But through that, I sought God and His Holy Spirit. And so I would say in your testimonies for me is seeking God daily for His Holy Spirit, to fill me with His Holy Spirit, to use for His wisdom. Because there are so many times when you're dealing with that kind of environment, half of them Mormons in ownership and employees and whatnot, you had the non-Christians, you had the Christians, and you had the Mormons. And so it was quite a dynamic. But I seen how God used me as an instrument to navigate through that, and how He gave me opportunities from my testimony to shine as a Christian. And so the people that were not Christians, they could see, okay, here's how the Mormons roll, and here's how the Christians roll. And so I had to really show my light and how I lived my life. And it was exciting. It was exciting and challenging at the same time. So that has been the second half of my life. The last 25 years, that's what I've been doing. And 10 years ago, my son and I, we went and broke out on our own. So we started our new company on ourselves and 10 years ago. And so it's been really exciting to develop a company and a business in which I've had the opportunity to take on a role as an owner, but I've taken on an owner as being a mentor to young men. And so I've been hiring guys to mentor them. That's my ministry. I felt like this is my ministry to teach and to mentor these men. It's a different approach than just hiring guys. It's a mentoring. So there's a burden. There's a you're carrying a little bit different. They're a family now. They're part of my core business. And so it's been really exciting to be able to influence that, to have control of that. But in the course of my life, some of the things that was instilled in my parents and others was to be, and you probably have heard this from different ones, different speakers, are talking about being the thermostat and not the thermometer. Think about that for a minute. Just to be the thermostat and not the thermometer. That is to control the atmosphere you're in versus conforming, okay? And that God has given me the strength and the ability to, and many stories that I remember, even with the other company, of just little things. And that's what's so exciting about God's Holy Spirit and using the littlest of things, having the biggest impact. And I remember just, hey, do you mind, guys, if we could pray over the meal? And then there was opportunities that it was in public settings. I thought, oh, maybe this is not. But the guys that were not saved, say, hey, Tony, you got to pray for the meal. And so that had impact on them. And I remember one day I was challenged. I felt like I needed to talk to one of the individuals at lunch. And they took him. He's a big guy, motorcycle dude, rather intimidating. And I say, hey, Dan, do you mind me if I pray over the meal before we start? And he said, why? With a disgusted look on his face. Says, why? And it put me on my heels for that moment. And I thought, well, Dan, I'm not trying to change you, but I don't want to change. I pray because I don't want to change. I don't want to, we all believe in certain things that we stand for. And I am thankful for this meal. I'm thankful for everything that God has blessed me with. And I'm thankful for this opportunity that I could share with you. But I'm not trying to change you. I'm not willing to change. And so that little testimony at Spark impacted his life. And I won't go into all of that, but it's those little things that we say that we get so caught up in our skills and thinking that we can't do this because of we don't have this ability. We can't do that. And that was me for years. I can't be involved in this in the church because I lack this skill and ability. But then when I realized this, God spoke to my heart, said, Tony, I don't care about your ability. There's a lot of more people that are better at doing what you're doing than me, with regardless of what it is. He says, I just want your availability. Just make yourself available and watch me use you. And so that's exactly what I did. I started just succumbing to his voice. And there's so many opportunities of just talking with my guys, whether I set the atmosphere with music, Christian music, pray with them, share with the light of Christ, different examples, talking on the phone, and somebody says something, I say, hey, I had a similar situation with my eyes, had eye surgery and all, and I just shared with this gal who I don't know in Alabama, never meet her, but she just wrote me this little email, says, thank you so much. It reduced so much of my anxiety. Thank you for sharing. And so it's those little things that you just share your heart, and God will use you in such a wonderful way, and it's so fulfilling beyond you can imagine. Don't dwell on your strengths. And it's just, and lastly, I just want to interject this. In the scripture, it speaks of, we all know this scripture in Matthew 13. It talks about the sower who cast the seeds and landed on the wayside, the rocky soil and the tares and the good soil. And myself and many Christians, we focus on the soil. Well, the guy's not ready to hear Christ or whatever it is about the person. We focus on the soil. And God is saying, just be the sower. If we just cast the seeds, he's the one that germinates the soil, the seeds. And so my challenge to you is just be good seed chuckers. That's what I'm at. I'm a seed chucker, and I'm just throwing the seeds out there. And it takes the pressure off of you. And, I'm a salesman. And so in sales, you win or you lose, a rejection or you win. When you're sowing seeds, there's none of that. It's just casting seeds, and they germinate as you ask God to germinate in the lives of those people. And so today, that's what my seeds have been planted this morning. I hope they germinate in your hearts, and I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Tony. All right, Tony, I want you to turn a bulb. There you go. All right. Thank you, man. Thank you. You know, last year, not this last Light Fest, but the one before, Tony and Debbie came to encourage people as they were leaving and help to sing. And a lot of people remember Tony. A lot of people didn't know him then from this church, but they remember him because nobody asked him to do this, but he brought fire. And so we had fire. It was great. So, but nobody asked him to do that. But that's being a living witness. I love it. So anyway, figgy pudding. Yes, I do remember that as well. All right, if I could have the worship team come up, that would be great. We're going to sing a final song. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, I think I would be remiss if I did not give people a chance. If you've come into this place today, just want to make sure. Most of you in here, I'm sure, are believers in Jesus Christ. That's probably why you're here. But there may be some people here who have not done that. So I'm going to ask everybody quickly, just really brief, to bow your heads. And if you are in this place today and you're loving what's being said today, and that it's real, it's life, and that life comes from Jesus, and you would like to accept Jesus into your life today to know him, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I would like you to raise your hand, and I'm not going to call you out. Just want to pray a general prayer. So if that is you today, and you would like to know Jesus as your personal Savior, then I would like you to raise your hand. So one, two, three. Anybody in this place? Yeah, I see you back there. Awesome. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So, I'm going to lead a prayer. So, if you would pray that with me, a gentleman who raised his hand. Lord, want to know you, and today's my day. And if everybody would pray with me, I didn't say that. Lord Jesus, I want to know you. I accept your forgiveness that stems from your death on the cross. And then you rose again for me. I want to know you. And I give you my life today. Amen. 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 Now, if you didn't raise your hand, or the gentleman that did raise his hand, I just want you to tell somebody today. Make sure you tell somebody so you don't just keep it to yourself, but share that with somebody you trust. If you don't know anybody here and you came by yourself, maybe you prayed that prayer for the first time today and you didn't raise your hand, you can talk to me. You can talk to anybody on the worship team. You could talk to somebody at the Next Steps area back there. We're not going to judge you. We're going to be so excited for you. So is everybody else. Say amen to that. Amen. Let's all stand up. All right, we're going to do a closing song. A rousing number. And I just need to say, I am filled with joy today for another reason. This little gal was so instrumental for many years with so many creative things we did here. She's been sick for a long time. We're trusting that God continues to heal her, but Renee Phillips is here today. So we all love Renee. Sorry to do that. People will flock to you like crazy. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Let's do it, guys.